Let's take our Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Talking about our articles of faith, the statement of the righteous and the wicked. It says, we believe that there is a radical and essential difference between the righteous and the wicked, that such only as through faith justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and sanctified by the Spirit of our God are truly righteous in his esteem, while all such as continue in impenitence and unbelief are in his sight wicked and under condemnation. And this distinction holds among men both in and after death, in the everlasting felicity of the saved and the everlasting conscious suffering of the lost. I want to read one verse before we pray, but it's in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. It says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go through Proverbs chapter 10, because as I was studying and I was reading, I was realizing there's a lot to say just in this chapter alone about the difference between the righteous and the wicked. And so we're going to take these different verses, we're going to look at them, we're going to add other scripture to them, and look at what the Bible says about this. But let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Father, we thank you again for the fact that you have given us your word to teach us, to correct us, to instruct us, to help us to know the way that we should live. Father, help us to see these truths tonight that you want us to learn. I pray that you would encourage our hearts with these things and challenge us and help us to be better equipped to be able to give answer to those that ask us of the reason of the hope that lies within us. And I pray that you would just help everything to be clear in our minds, help your Holy Spirit to help us to have the understanding we need of these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, this passage details several differences between the righteous and the wicked. So we're just going to go ahead and get right into these verses and see what they say. Look at verse 2. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And the things that the wicked treasure have no eternal value. There's no value in those things in the end, and will bring emptiness, it will bring loss. But the righteousness of Christ will deliver from death. Those things that we treasure in Christ, those things that we have in Christ, will deliver us from death. That means that we put our faith and trust in Christ, we have his righteousness that delivers us from death or separation from God. Walking with God will bring fulfillment, but the treasures of the wicked bring no profit. If you look at Matthew 6:19, and by the way, there's several references we're going to look at. Matthew 6:19. Let me just read that for you. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. You see, the wicked look for things of value and try to find things to hang on to in this world. But they realize, in the end, they're going to realize there's no value in those things. And the righteous, we seek after the things that will last for eternity. And that is the things that God outlines in his word. Look at verse 3. It says, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Again, the Lord will provide for the righteous. The Lord will sustain those who are following after him. But those who seek after wicked things, it says, they will be cast away. Those things, again, will be lost. They'll be diminished. They'll be suddenly taken away. Look, Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. Verses that we can tie into this. Psalm 34, 9 and 10 says, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want, there is no lack to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. In other passages in Psalms, that David says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And so the Lord will sustain the righteous. The Lord will take care of those who are doing what is right, who are seeking after him. Verse 6, we see it says, blessings are upon the head of the just or of the righteous, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Those who are just or those who are righteous receive blessing. The idea of blessing there is praise. And you think about that and you think, how many times we look at someone and we praise those who are doing what's right. But those who are doing what's wrong, it's like violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Violence of the wicked causes them to be silent in shame. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. There's a verse there, Romans 3:19. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And so when the wicked speak, and the things that they say, which are usually perverse or usually ungodly things, they are brought to shame. They are brought to silence because of what they say. Verse 7, we see the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. So the memory of the righteous man is full of praises, but the memory of a wicked man is forgotten. I was thinking about that funeral I watched this week about the evangelist, Gary Gilmore. That funeral went on for 2.5 hours. And it wasn't because they were praising him for his great accomplishments, but they were praising God for what God had accomplished through his life. And when a righteous man is remembered, there's blessing, there's praises because of what God has done in their lives. But a wicked man is usually quickly forgotten. Psalm chapter 112, verse 6. Psalm 112, verse 6. It says, surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. And you think about people that have done right and people who have lived godly lives and how that their name, their remembrance goes on for a long time. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 10 is another reference there. Ecclesiastes 8, 10. It says, so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. So Solomon says, what is the end of the wicked? There's no remembrance of them. Their name is forgotten, and the memory of the wicked man is forgotten. But we go back to Proverbs chapter 10. We see in verse 9, it says there, he that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. A righteous man is confident. A righteous man will walk, surely he will walk confidently, but a wicked man's ways will be made manifest. And I think of Numbers 32:23. What does it say? Be sure your sin will find you out. And a wicked man doesn't walk confidently. He walks quietly. He walks secretly. He doesn't want things to be known. But the Bible says it will be known. It will be made manifest. And so a righteous man can walk confidently because he knows that he's living for the Lord. He knows he's doing what's right. But a wicked man will not. Verse 11 says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The words of a righteous man will build up others, will edify others, will help others. But the violence of a wicked man, or the words of a wicked man, cause his words to be destructive, cause his words to be harmful. We see in Psalm chapter 37, verses 30 and 31. Psalm 37, verse 30 says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Then we go to James chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. James 3, verses 5 through 8, it says, even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is a tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so we see that the words of a wicked man are harmful, they're destructive, but the words of a righteous man build up and they edify. Look at verse 16. It says, the labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. And here we see the difference between the righteous man who will use what he earns to provide for himself and for others around him, whereas a wicked man will just simply feed his own selfish desires. He'll feed his own flesh. And many times those around him, those he should be providing for, are left with nothing. And so we see that the righteous man will provide or will help those around him. Isaiah chapter 3 is a verse that we can use with this one. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. And in Proverbs, we see a lot about the slothful man. We see a lot about the diligent man, and we see the difference between the two. A diligent man will have the fruit of his harvest. A slothful man says, why even go out and work the field? I'm tired. There's a lion out there. Why go out and do what I need to do? So we see the difference between a righteous man and the wicked man here. Verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. And that which comes out of the mouth of a just man or a righteous man is precious. It's profitable. It's helpful to others. But again, the heart of a wicked man is worthless. And you see the comparison here. They're comparing the mouth of a righteous man, but they're saying the heart of a wicked man. What's the difference? Well, the manifestation of the heart of a righteous man is through the tongue. The Bible tells us what comes out of our mouth is simply showing what's in our heart. And so the mouth of a righteous man says that which is edifying, that which is building up. But it goes to the root of the wicked man. It says the root of the heart of the wicked man is destructive, is little worth. He's going right to the root of the problem. He says, because out of the heart of the wicked man, the Bible says, comes bitterness, comes wrath, anger, clamor, malice, evil speaking, things of no value. That's in Ephesians 4. But another passage is Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus talks about what comes out of the mouth shows what's in the heart. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. Jesus says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And so it's important for us to evaluate, are my words building up others, or are my words tearing down others? And it helps us to know what is in the heart. In verse 21, we see the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Have you noticed that Solomon says a lot about the words of the righteous and the words of the wicked? The words of a righteous man will be beneficial to others, but the words of a wicked man will bring spiritual famine because they don't bring any spiritual nourishment. There's nothing there helpful for others. Job chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. One of Job's three friends, if you want to call him that, was speaking here, Eliphaz. And he tells Job, he says, thy word, in verse 3, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. He says, Job, you have been an encouragement to many. You have been a help to many by the things that you have said. And that was the life of Job. That was a testimony of Job. But Solomon here says, a wicked man, that the things that come out of his mouth are not helpful. They're not building up others. Verse 24, we see it says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. And the wicked will be ensnared and overcome by his fears. The wicked man is always fearful of things, maybe fearful of being found out, fearful of things that might happen to him. But the desires of the righteous will be rewarded to him. Look at Genesis chapter 11. I thought this was interesting. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. You've probably all seen this before, but it's talking about those who settled in the plain of Shinar after the flood. Genesis chapter 11, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick, and burn them throughly." They had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name." Look at the fear. Let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. What did we just read in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 24? The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. What happened? It came upon them. Why? Because they were wicked. They were ungodly. They were looking to make a name for themselves. They were looking to benefit themselves, nothing toward God. Yeah, they wanted to get to God, but it wasn't so they could praise him. And their fear came upon them. Their fear came to them. But the desires of the righteous will be granted. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 25, it says, "As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation." I have a picture here of a destructive whirlwind. And a whirlwind goes through, a tornado goes through, and it doesn't leave anything intact. The wicked are like that whirlwind. They're like that. In the end, there's nothing left of the things that have been there. Things that they've pursued, there's nothing left. They're just like they go through like a bull in a china shop. And it's just destructive. But the righteous has a sure foundation because his foundation is Christ. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. Jesus is speaking here again. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." The wicked, the things that he pursues, the things that he does are like a whirlwind. Nothing's left. But the righteous has a sure foundation, because his foundation is Christ. Verse 27, it says, "The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened." The man who fears the Lord, a righteous man who fears the Lord, has a promise of a full life. We look at Psalm 91, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 91, 9 says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all his way, all thy ways." Go on down to verse 16. "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." God is going to give a person who is righteous, a person who is following him, an abundant life, a full life. We talked about this morning. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 and 11. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." And so as we live out our days, as we see those people who have lived for God, and how God is allowing them to live beyond the 70 years that the Bible says is the age of man, and how God gives him a full life. But the life of a wicked man will be shortened, and Job talks about that in Job chapter 22, verses 15 and 16. He says, "Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overthrown with a flood? He says, a wicked man's time is cut short. And oftentimes God has to do that. When he sees that somebody is not going to turn to him, when he sees that somebody's going to reject him and be defiant against him, God may say, okay, that's enough. And God has to do that at times. Verse 28, we see the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. And here we have the proverb of the righteous, reward of the righteous and the demise of the wicked. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." And so we have the reward of the righteous promised to those who will live for Christ, but we have the demise of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 7 says, "When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perisheth." So we see here that there's no confidence, there's no expectation, there's no hope in the wicked man. Verse 29, "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous man finds their sustenance and strength in the Lord, but the wicked will be overthrown." Isaiah 43:31, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And so those who will seek the Lord, those who will follow the Lord, will find their strength in him. But what about the wicked? Psalm 1, verse 6, "The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Just a few more here. Verse 30, we see it says, "The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth." The security of the righteous is set. Again, they have that sure foundation, but the end of the wicked is removal to eternal judgment. Psalm chapter 37, verse 22. Psalm 37, 22 says, "For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. They that be cursed of him shall be cut off." That's the end of each one. That's the end of the righteous. The righteous man will have eternal rewards, eternal blessing. The wicked man will be cut off and have eternal torment. Verse 31, "The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out." Again, talking about the words of the righteous are wise, but the words of the wicked are foolishness. Psalm chapter 63, verse 11. Psalm 63:11, "The king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." And so we see here the difference between the words, again, of the righteous and the wicked. And then finally, verse 32, "The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." And the righteous man knows when to speak. He knows what to say at the right time. But a wicked man utters whatever comes to his mind, and it's usually perverse. Solomon talks about that in Proverbs 15, verse 2. It says, "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." Again, over in chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it until afterward." And so we see that there's a vast difference between the righteous and the wicked, how they speak, how they live, how they react with others. But there's three statements that are true of the righteous and the wicked. Both wickedness and righteousness are inherited. You say, but we don't automatically have righteousness. No. But look at Romans chapter 5. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. both wickedness and righteousness are inherited. Proverbs chapter, or Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Here we see that the wickedness is inherited. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So our wickedness was inherited by our father Adam. We received that wickedness because of his sin, and because of that we are sinners, we are wicked. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. How do we inherit righteousness? It's only as we trust Christ as our Savior, and then we receive the righteousness of Christ. And so both are inherited. Both are inherited by our spiritual condition. Another thing we see is each one shows the master that we are serving. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Whether we are wicked or whether we are righteous, it shows which master we are serving. Romans 6, verse 16, it says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then one other statement, once we die, our eternal destiny is set because of the choice we have made. Are we going to remain in our wickedness? Are we going to choose to take on the righteousness of Christ through salvation? Matthew chapter 25 talks about how our eternal destiny is set once we die. Matthew chapter 25. Verse 31. This is when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Look down at verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And down to verse 46. "These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Once we die, our eternal destiny is set. And that's why we have to make the choice now. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We can make the choice today. We can make the choice to be righteous by taking on Christ's righteousness as salvation. And so to summarize all of this, the righteous are those who have received Christ's righteousness by salvation. They are living their lives consecrated to him and will one day be in eternal fellowship with God in heaven. The wicked are those who continue in their unregenerate condition. They have rejected God's gift of salvation and they are living their lives solely for themselves. And the Bible says they will be cast into the lake of fire to suffer eternal torment and separation from God. Let me just read once again Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2. Because that really summarizes the difference between the righteous and the wicked. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. So we can choose the righteousness of Christ, and we don't have to suffer the consequences of the wicked. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that you make salvation available to each one of us. We thank you that we can trust you as our Savior. We thank you that we can have the righteousness of Christ in our lives. Thank you that we can walk with you. We can walk in fellowship with you. We can walk in godliness. Father, thank you that we don't have to serve our old master. We have a new master. We have a new king, a new ruler in our lives. Help us to live our lives consecrated to him. Help us to honor and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.